From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're with Natalie Cheel and Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Indeed you are, and it is Tuesday the 20th of March 2023, and I think my lovely listeners and my lovely colleagues, broadcasters, I think what we need today is we need a little balance and we need a little bit of calm to be injected into our crazy worlds, because I am trying to step back a little bit, as Natalie has done for months now, and observe what's happening at a distance and not get sucked into emotions and theories and ideas, just to objectively look at things and come to my conclusion and stick to it, despite what anybody else may or may not be saying. This, my lovely, lovely people, sound like a cult leader, don't I, is absolutely the most insane time in all of human history, without a shadow of a doubt, and it's getting worse. So balance and a little bit of objectivity, I think, is needed. So I don't know about my friends here who are going to be inputting whatever they're going to input today, but I'm going to try and keep a level head, because I could explode very easily. And, you know, if you've ever been in a fight, the worst thing you can do is get angry, believe it or not. When you start getting angry, you start throwing wild punches and leaving yourself open to someone who's calmer to counter you and knock you on your ass. So we need a little bit of composure. I need a little bit of composure. I'll let these lovely folks speak for themselves. Folks, Natalie, we're going to introduce Darren in a minute. What do you think about that? Am I turning into a hippie or what?
No, we talked about mind power yesterday, and that's what we need to do. We need to think and observe and stay calm. I'll try not to go on one of my rants today for you.
Rants are good. Rants are okay. But what I mean is, I'm not meaning, because listen, nobody gets more worked up and boo than I do. But what I mean is, sometimes we can go banzai. I can really go over the line, and then I'll lose control, and then I say things I shouldn't say in real life as well as online, and then I'm thinking, God, why did I do that? If I'd have just paused and took a deep breath. You get what I mean?
Absolutely. That's the main thing I took from my social media break, that being able to step back and observe the stories and why have they been put in the media, because so many times they're designed to rile people up, to make them angry, to cause hatred, to cause division. And often people take the bait, including us. We're also guilty.
You're right. Do you know what we'll do? Anyone that's listening in, this is an open line session between now and the top of the hour. We've got another 53 minutes on air. At about 15:15, the lines will be open. And no matter where you are or what you have on your mind or on your heart or on your chest that you want to get off, feel free to give Natalie and I a call. You can do that. The numbers will be on the website, which is TNT Radio Live, and they're also on the sweepers that we play here throughout the show, which is great. So what we'll do is we'll direct you to download our app, which is on the App Store and also the Google Play Store, and also follow what we're doing on our website, which is really the center of the broadcasting universe as far as we're concerned, which is tntradio.live. So please feel free to connect with us there and stay tuned for what will hopefully be an uplifting, stimulating and provoking time together here on the airwaves. I keep calling them the airwaves. Maybe they are airways or waves. You know what I'm getting at, here on TNT Radio.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Darren, can you feel it? Can you feel it?
I can feel it. And, you know, I agree with your sentiment, whether I do the same or not. And I do try to have, sort of not regular breaks, but little gaps in my social media use. And when you were saying that, I was just thinking about my experience of Russiagate and Trump and digesting all that information for 12 months. And I switched it off for 1 week. I said, this is all crazy. I can't believe any of this anymore. I switched it all off for 1 week. I came back down to earth and I realized that I had been led astray for 12 months following an untrue narrative. And since then, I've always tried to stay out of the rabbit holes and just look down. But a break is one that does wonders for your mental health, and I'm sure Natalie will attest to that, having her break from Twitter. Anyway, talking of craziness, or maybe not craziness, my story is there has been a new law or rules will be changed with regards to antisocial behaviour. There's been an antisocial behaviour crackdown. Targets include bad tenants and harmful beggars. And rules will be changed to make it easier to evict disruptive tenants, ban organised or harmful begging. Sounds like an attack on homelessness there. The UK government announced on Monday as part of its crackdown on antisocial behaviour. Police in England and Wales will be given powers to do more drug tests. So laughing gas will also be banned to put an end to intimidating groups of young people littering local parks with empty canisters. And I have to ask a question of both of you before I even continue with the story. Have you actually seen a laughing gas problem in your communities? Or is it just a joke? Because I haven't. I walk lots of local parks. I'm not doing anything dodgy. I just like the trees and the greenery. And I've never seen, you know, park benches with empty canisters around them. Never. Rick?
Never.
To be honest, I wouldn't have a problem if it was mandated that teenagers these days had to inhale laughing, you know, proper nitrous oxide I'm talking about, rather than some dodgy imported chemical. Because listen, where I walk about, they all look, I'm generalizing here, they look so miserable and they, you know, shoulders slump forward. And I understand they've been under assault for the last 3 years, maybe a little bit of laughing gas for the entire population. I wouldn't have a problem with them spraying that from the airplanes, darn, never mind whatever else it is they're pumping in the atmosphere. Hell, I could do with some nitrous oxide myself right about now. What about you?
I mean, I like a good laugh. I've never actually, I don't remember ever trying. I think I've tried nitrous oxide in a dentist once before. It was a common form of anesthetic. This is nitrogen oxide. But I don't see, I don't know how harmful it is to public behaviour. It makes you laugh. Don't do too much. It can kill you. But in small doses, it can make you laugh. Anyway, laughing's not allowed.
Natalie, I think Natalie has something she wants to interject. I think she's a big canister of that under her sofa right now. She's having a puff on it in between sentences here.
I'm not going to incriminate myself. I'm just going to say that I believe that alcohol probably has a far, far, far greater negative impact on society and antisocial behaviour, even with children and yob-type behaviour, don't you think, than a little canister? But I mean, I wouldn't know, obviously.
I'm not going to go into my personal experience because I talk about alcohol a bit by myself too much. But just from a chemistry point of view, physically, it's also the most dangerous drug. It's also one of the most addictive. And it's also one of the most harmful in terms of antisocial behaviour. But I mean, they have just put the taxes up. So maybe that's their attempt.
I was just about to say, they don't have a lot of, when you buy the nitrous oxide, it's like behind the counter of a corner shop that they're not actually going to get any tax on. So maybe this is also to do with that the government aren't very happy that they're not getting any income from it like they are the alcohol. So that's another way to look at it.
Maybe they will. Anyway, so what else are they going to crack down on? Graffiti, fly tipping, illegal drugs, which are already illegal. What else have they mentioned here? Noisy neighbors are going to give powers to landlords to deal with persistent antisocial tenants. Sort of can't really argue with that. Begging and homelessness is getting a lot of attention. However, the government has said it will commit $1 billion in funding to help end rough sleeping, including in housing and rehabilitation programs. And they have promised a more visible policing presence, which will be great if we've got more police officers with the big hats on and their uniforms walking around in pairs like the good old days when we had police. That would be very, very much welcome. Maybe it'll stop the youngsters sitting on park benches laughing, you know, because we can't have them laughing. The police are
confiscating the laughing gas from those kids, those pesky kids, eh? And encouraging them to drink alcohol instead because it's legal and they can tax it. Yeah, I can see where that's going.
But also remember, You go, Darren.
Go, Natalie.
I was going to say it was Michael Gove as well. It was on TV, the cocaine sniffing admission of Gove that was pushing this policy as well, just to mock the public even more. I don't know if you've seen that. He was the one rolled out on the BBC telling us all about how important it is to get rid of laughing gas. And then when the reporter said to him, haven't you admitted to taking drugs yourself? He said, no, but I've learned my mistake. So all is well.
If you watch them in Parliament, it looks like they're all on laughing gas, if you ask me, because they seem to be having a laugh. But the key point here, before, and I'm going to chuck it back over to you now, is that they have created or will be implementing and pushing a new digital tool that allows the public to report on said antisocial behaviour, whether it's a noisy neighbour, laughing gas teenagers, homelessness, begging, and there's a whole sort of graffiti, etc. There's a raft, you know what I mean, by antisocial behavior. The public, like in North Korea or East Germany, will now be able to report you. And this, well, we've had lots of training, haven't we, over the last couple of years of using your neighbors to report, or the government using people to report on their neighbors. Oh, he's not wearing a mask. Oh, he hasn't had his vaccine. Oh, he went outside and saw his granny and gave her a hug. We've all had that training. And actually, if you use North Korea as a common, as a real life example now, from what we're being told, that is how the government in North Korea maintains control. You do not know if your friends or family are reporting on you in North Korea, and therefore you keep your mouth shut and do as you're told. And I suspect this new digital tool will fit into social credit and all these other digital elements of the prison system that they're building is going to be used in the same verve and manner, guys.
So there's a squealing app basically going to be rolled out where you can tout on people. They call them touts over here in Northern Ireland. If you're squealing people or you dob people in, dobbers, I think they're called in Australia. You dob me in, he's a dobber. He's a dirty dobber. That means you're a squealer or a tout or whatever you want to call it. Sometimes, though, what you've mentioned there, especially with noisy neighbours, all right, I've been very blessed over the years not to have noisy neighbors. I've been blessed. And listen, it's a lottery out there. You could have the best neighbors in the world and your life will be so much better for it. But if you get the wrong people living adjoining you at night, having parties, banging on the walls, fighting, having domestics, it is mental torture. Mental torture. I've had a lot of people, friends of mine, that have been in that position, and it is living hell. Of all the things in what you're talking about there, the littering, graffiti, drugs, blah, 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 the one thing that absolutely needs to be cracked down on, and I don't mean a unit coming out monitoring the decibels at various times of the day. They should be outside the property. If someone's having a banging on the walls or screaming at 3 a.m. having a party, rip all their gear out, take them down to the station, charge them with antisocial behavior. They're caught on the spot. That's all there is to it. Let them learn the lesson the hard way. I'm telling you now, because people's lives are hell because of this. And the more wound up people get, a lot of people are sitting at home, fried brains. They don't give a damn anymore about consequences. And I'm not judging anyone here because I've probably been a noisy neighbor. All the people I'm talking about, I've been blessed because I've had quiet neighbors. My wife says to me, you're so loud on the radio. Like, I shout at the top of my voice. Now, thankfully, there's no one actually adjoined to this room, but I used to have the window open during the summer. So when people are walking past in the street, Dan Andrews is a scumbag and Boris Johnson's a rat. That's what my neighbours get from me. So maybe I should be arrested, Natalie. Do you think I should be arrested or slapped with an Asbo?
I think the problem is, though, who decides what is antisocial behaviour? And as we saw with COVID, as much as what you're saying is true, we saw that some people believe that a tiny bit of music would be antisocial behaviour at any level. Therefore, Rick, how many people would be phoning in and snitching on the most ridiculous things? And then we've got even more problems with the police. You know, there'll be so many people calling people in because they just don't like them, or they've got a problem with them, or it's revenge calls. You know, so there has to be a better way. And I don't think the kind of fought police idea is a great one. And I was just going to say, to me as well, this is all a smoke and mirrors exercise, this antisocial behaviour plan. I mean, really focusing on the tiniest small issues in society when there are greater, much bigger problems that we're looking at. And really, they shut down the economy and society for 2 years and forbid people from seeing their families and friends. Do you think that's antisocial behavior, or a child maybe doing a bit of laughing at him again?
Isn't it? It's more of the old gaslighting. In fact, we should call this one the gaslighting hour, because we just highlight everything that's happening in the world. And effectively, all it is one big gaslighting incident. Okay. Darren, you also mentioned, just to close it off, about the rough sleeping. They're pledging $1 billion to potentially end rough sleeping. You know, there's a lot of budget available there when they want it to be. What is it, $6 million a day plus and counting for a hotel, bed and breakfast costs, let alone repatriation costs or reparation costs or whatever the hell the grammar is for it, that they're paying for people maybe to move to other places to give support and aid. $37 billion on a test and trace app that they're now putting into sleep mode. So really, $1 billion for homelessness, $37 billion for an app on the phone. Put that one in the balances and weigh and see what way that one comes out. Again, it's just a token gesture and it's talk. I would love to see the receipts for that $1 billion, how it's actually being spent and whether it's actually spent or not and whose bank account it ends up in. But of course, the chances of us seeing that is slim to none. Hell's bells, antisocial behavior, eh? That's one for me to take note of. Darren, thank you very much for the input. As always, we'll talk again in an hour. Folks, the lines will be open in a few minutes. So brace yourselves for more of the same here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Bruce de Torres is talking about on World Stage.
We were tasked with investigating allegations that were Nazi war criminals here in the United States. And you were steered surreptitiously by folks who knew what you were doing and wanted you to really find the real dirt. And you found files on Nazis imported into the United States that were hidden among nuclear files so that they would never, ever, these files would not be found. And you found how Republican cliques in the State Department under Harry Truman's first term, we'll call it, secretly, and it got these war criminals approved to come into the United States. And then you were describing how the Dulles brothers facilitated this.
So it was covert ops to buy up countries that would allow them to establish cartels.
Because the Dulles brothers were Wall Street's most powerful, or among the most powerful, corporate lawyers for these giant money interests.
The law firms, right, the law firms Sullivan and Cromwell, handled Wall Street. And these guys were looking for a safe place to make more money.
World Stage and Bruce de Torres on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Natalie Cheel, I was going to say your middle name there. I know what it is, but I don't think you'd like me to tell the world, so I'm not going to dox you. Okay, so Natalie Cheel, what is the word on the street?
Well, going back to what you were saying earlier, I don't know if you'd noticed, there's so many stories coming thick and fast. Like, we couldn't even possibly cover them in an hour, could we? No. And most of them, I've noticed, again, observing, stepping back, they're all designed to segregate again, to polarize viewpoints in the extremes. Every single one of them that we could cover, it's always promoting this them and us. And I think... well, that's what I would say to people listening. Always be aware of that when you see a story, because to me, in every single one we cover, that's the thing that I've noted. And probably to start with, should we go to the New Zealand protest? Well, it was a women's rights protest.
Kelly J. Jean, also known as Posey Parker, the founder of Standing for Women, an activist going over there just to give a talk initially about women's rights. When I would say as well, nowadays, women's rights, like I said about the polarization of views, is now seen as anti-trans, which to me, it doesn't actually have to be seen like that. Standing up for women's rights doesn't need to be anti-trans, but now, because they have to segregate those views, it has to be black and white, you have to be in one camp or another. And that is why there's been that in the end, it was not a peaceful protest. It ended up with a 70-year-old woman being punched by a trans activist, by another one throwing tomato juice at Kelly J. Jean herself, saying, "I want her to be full of blood as she is advocating for our blood and our genocide." What are your thoughts, Rich?
Okay, this lady in question, this Posey Parker, I'll be honest with you, I have no idea who she is. I wasn't aware of her before all of this, but it could just as easily have been you. It could just as easily have been my wife or my daughter or any other woman in the world. It didn't, the person itself didn't matter. It was a female who was standing up, and her point was, let women speak, let us have our say on issues that potentially are relevant to our personal safety and our mental health, okay? I don't want to share a bathroom with a biological man. I don't want to share a bathroom with someone who's dressed as a woman. That's just something that I'm not comfortable with. So they come and they protest, they go to New Zealand and other places as well. And as you've highlighted, you know, you'll always get people saying, this is a setup, this is a psyop, this is caused, used to cause division. Set all that aside, what did we see? We saw a woman assaulted by a baying, rabid mob of men. That's a fact. We saw that. I watched footage. She was afraid, all right? That was not an act. You can't act certain things. You just can't. You can tell when someone's putting on fake tears. You can tell when someone's putting on sometimes fake horror. But she was afraid. She was terrified, no doubt about it. And she was physically assaulted. And I don't know if you've seen the footage of that old woman being punched several times in the face by a man claiming to be a woman. 70-year-old woman with her two eyes puffed up immediately after the attack. She was assaulted. That was not an act. And, you know, I don't know who anybody would subject themselves to that, to be part of a psyop, if you want to call it that. And all of this has went unchecked, Natalie. So the message that's being given out here is that the police and the government were prepared to stand by, and there's been no arrests because of this that I know of. So what message is that sending out to people?
I think the problem with this story is that she was supposedly looked into being banned by the New Zealand government because they said because of hate and tensions, maybe she shouldn't be let in. Now, what's so crazy about it is not only then did they let her in, but not actually put any decent police presence after saying it was going to cause violence and hatred. They didn't actually police the event correctly. So for me, yes, it might not be a psyop, but there's questions that need to be asked there, because why would you then not put proper preventative measures in to ensure people's safety and not get hurt? It looks to me, as I've already said, and I see it every day in the news now, they want that division. They want it to be pushed in the media. You know, it makes a great story, and it also pushes this segregation. And whilst we're all fighting against each other, we are not fighting against the government. And, you know, it's such a shame, because
you're right,
there's all it is about, it's actually just about women speaking. Why is a woman saying, can I come here and talk about women's rights? Why is that anti-trans? You know, to me, hate speech is actively talking against a group or wanting to cause them violence. Standing up for your own rights doesn't, just by doing that, mean that you're anti somebody else. Do you see what I mean? And this is what's happening all the time. And
again, it deflects from the government. You know, they claim, well, she's a divisive character. If she comes here, it could stir up hatred. But they let her in anyway. And then after they let her in, they refuse to provide sufficient security to protect that lady. Okay. And what I'm saying is post-event. So this has happened, obviously, in the last few days. So it's been and gone. But there's a lack of response, or a lack of condemnation, or a lack of, you know, outrage from people. If you've seen that footage, it's absolutely disgusting. And I'm not saying that there weren't provocateurs in that group, or there weren't people in that audience sent to stir up tension. But when you look at that mob, you know, if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people, you could get caught up in some shenanigans that you didn't weep part of, but it still doesn't take away from the fact that she was assaulted. Nothing's been done about it. And that old lady, I'm sure, is nursing two very, very badly swollen and blackened eyes this week. She was 70 years of age. It's disgusting when you actually see it. Some man in a dress punching her repeatedly in the face. You know, that stirs up emotion in me. I wish I'd have been at that protest. But, you know what I mean? I really do. But
if there's any protest where they know there's going to be fighting between two sets of people, which they knew, why wasn't it properly policed? You know, it's a bit different. We talk about the London protest where there were freedom protests, but there weren't people. Yes, there were large numbers, but there wasn't an ante on the other side coming to fight them. They knew this would happen. They wanted that to happen, and they wanted to be put out in the press, I'm absolutely sure. Because all it's done is cause more hate, more anger. I mean, it's been spoke about on every social media platform. There were also like kind of neo-Nazis that were invited as well. So it was extremist on every side to push the debate further into the news and cause more problems.
And get people wound up, which it's absolutely succeeded in doing, you know, but that's part of it. You know, it happened, that we'll have to cover it. But it's also part of this wide-ranging, how would you say, campaign that they have. And maybe we'll take a quick break for the news. When we come back, there's another incident that happened in America yesterday in Nashville, a shooting. And again, this issue's being dragged into that. Right. So we have to ask ourselves why. We have to ask ourselves what end result did they want from all of this, rather than examining necessarily whether something actually happened, whether it didn't, whether it was manipulated, whether it wasn't. What's the end goal? What do they desire to achieve as a result of these stories coming out, or these incidents or atrocities happening? So we'll do that, all being well, when we come back after the news here just in a minute on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Anger is growing after footage emerged of a male transgender activist repeatedly punching an elderly woman in the face at a women's rights rally in New Zealand. Authorities in Australia appear to be backpedalling on their push to vaccinate the population against COVID-19, and a transgender man has been shot dead in the US after going on a shooting spree at an elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee, killing six people, including three children.
Our lines are now open. Call Natalie Cheel and Rick Munn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Just a quick hello to the lovely folk inhabiting our chat. Jock and anti-lockdown Lance, Holly, Mazzy, Hazel, Emperor Ming, Bloden's in there. Few other people. I've said him already, Emperor Ming. You get a double mention this morning. Deep Fried Fred, which is a fantastic name. Skippy's in there as well. A lot of people in there. So thank you and welcome. And we're appreciative of your input and the fact that you're listening in. This shooting that happened in Nashville, all I know is people have died. Footage is being released. People are talking about the shooter. People are talking about trans issues. People are asking questions why it happened, why it was allowed to happen. Joe Biden arrived. The first thing he said was, I'm only here for the choc chip ice cream and I've got a refrigerator full of it. It is insane. It's insane. Yeah. Right now, this will blow over in a day or two. But as per today, 28th of March, I think I said 23rd of March earlier on. My eyesight's not great. I can't really read that little clock on my thing. But for today, anyway, it seems to be dominating everything. So the question that we need to ask is, why are they pushing this story so hard? What's the end game that they have in mind as a result of this story? What do you think?
Well, it goes back to what I was saying. I just can't understand why suddenly that detail about the person being trans was suddenly released at such an early stage. And in the morning, I read the story and I messaged you, didn't I? Just kind of before bed going, what? They've just released that this person's trans. And what's even more confusing about it is it's not even following the rules that they set themselves about how you address trans people, because this is a biological woman who identifies as a man. So by their own rules, that person should be being called a man and being spoken about as one, but they're not. They're calling her a female. So I'm most confused about that anyway. and then from the other side, yes. I was on Twitter looking at the other side, and they'd predicted, do you know how many people had predicted that they were going to announce that they'd come out trans before? And this is more from the progressive left saying, I bet this will be blamed on the trans whole debate. So an interesting, it's from both sides, you know, like from some people who are more kind of right wing, like anti-government, are thinking, oh, the media are only pushing the trans, you know, promotion of it. You know, actually, you could argue there's a bit of both going on here. Yep. It's almost they're doing it to cause more hate and division than they are actually doing more of a promotion or a negative, because there's no need to have released that at this stage without any more research into it and investigation. Why release it yesterday, Rick? Does it make sense to you?
Here's the big tragedy in all this too. The person that's getting the most attention in all of this is the shooter rather than the victims. Okay. So it's almost like the people that were shot are aside to the shooter and the identity of the shooter and what the shooter identifies as. So as you rightly pointed out, I understand this is a female who identifies as a male, but the media are reporting her as a woman, which she is. And now we're getting complaints coming through saying the press are misgendering this person because it's a he, him, but it's a woman. As you say, this is deemed to cause people to bang their heads off walls, to scratch their heads in confusion, and to bring this issue into yet another atrocity or massive talking point. So we've hopped from one issue to another, and this issue's dominating. This is something we need to be very aware of, okay? And there's a sad aspect of this too, and what I'm seeing is, I'm just speaking freely here, there are people out there who think that everything is fake and everything is a psyop, and if you believe anything at all, then you are not awake and you're not a real person and the truth or blah, blah, blah. To me, those people are worse than the mainstream media, this elitist mentality and everything's fake. No, it's called paranoia, okay? Everything is not fake. A lot of things have been staged, but not everything's fake. And here's the thing. These people will go to twice the lengths to prove you wrong, as you would have done. Just let the thing blow over anyway. They'll go into, it was a setup and the shooter was this and there's a number 5 in the background and it happened on such a date and blah, blah. Okay, all right, fair enough. If that's what you believe, then that's cool. But, you know, don't be offended if I pour scorn on that the same way that you'll pour scorn on me for actually believing there are real events happening. But I also believe, if you've pointed out, they're being manipulated by the press to cause division and strife and anger. And I said I wasn't going to get angry. I worked up this morning and my heart's tight in my chest and I want to hit someone right now, Natalie.
And as they've rightly pointed out here in the online chat as well, they brought Christianity into it as well, because my understanding is this happened in a state where they'd recently changed the trans laws. So they've tried to say this changing of the trans laws, as we said, would cause violence, and it has, and it's now they're blaming it on the Christians, and was it a Christian school? Can you see again? They're all of the same subjects to cause division. And no, I completely agree with you on this PSYOP thing. I do think this has happened, but we don't even know. We question the mainstream media all the time. This transgender reveal might not even be real. but it suits correct. Their agenda. The shooting correct. Might be real, but we have no idea. And we cannot sit here and say, if we question everything that suits our agenda, that's confirmation bias. We've no idea if they're actually trans or they've just added that to the mix to kind of dilute the argument coming out. So it moves and distracts to another thing that's more important.
Correct. And here's the thing, how can we, you or I, never mind anybody else that's throwing their theories out there, how can you and I decisively say that something didn't happen? You're in Reading, unless I'm very much mistaken. You're in Reading, and as far as I know, you haven't been to Nashville over the last 24 hours, you know, doing a little bit of investigative journalism, hopped on a flight home. You're just hopped on and say, well, actually, Rick, I was there. I've been at the crime scene. I know exactly. I've been at that school. How the hell are you going to make that statement? How the hell can I make that statement sitting outside of Belfast going, it never happened. It's all false. It's a psyop. It's a...
And how many people do you hear saying, oh, I know what it's like in France. I know what the protests are like in Israel. I know what they're like in... You know, it's... We don't know. You've got to remember that the mainstream media is a tool for propaganda and social indoctrination, but they're also using other forms of media as well. So just because you see something on a truther website or a different social media platform that's alternative doesn't make that any more true. You need to question absolutely everything on both sides, because otherwise you're just performing confirmation bias. You've got an idea in your head and you're taking evidence to fit your hypothesis even, rather than actually looking at it objectively with open eyes. And that's what we're promoting here on TNT correct. Radio. We want to expose the truth and get rid of corruption, not just have an idea and push our ideas to what we might believe. That's not what I'm interested in.
No. And ultimately, like I said, we can't determine, because we don't have the facts. We're not in possession of the actual facts, the actual footage, the actual on the ground reports. But what we can say is what the aftermath is, what the after effects are, and what other agendas are trying to be pushed. Of course, Biden comes out and says it's another reason to get away with assault rifles. Why are the Republicans not banning assault rifles? So that's ultimately what this could be used as a lever to bring about. It's being used to cause more division. And here's the sad thing. Okay, and I'm seeing this more and more now as a result of this increased reporting on transgenderism. There are so many people out there that are struggling with their identity, right? Real human beings with feelings. They have body dysmorphia. They're confused about, right? And all they are seeing when they read social media or the mainstream media is the demonization of trans activists or men wanting women's spaces or a shooter in a school in Nashville or one thing and another. And then people are commenting going, this loon, this trans loon, this crazy loon, these lunatics. By proxy, we're causing damage to people that are struggling with, and they're not activists, they're just normal people living their life, struggling with a mental issue, and then they go on to social media or mainstream media, and it's like, but I think I'm confused about my identity, and they're calling me a loon, and they're saying I'm dangerous, and they're saying I need to be shut out of this and shut out of that. Oh, hell's bells, it's a travesty.
Yeah, it's fueling those extremist views. Let's show a bit more kindness and compassion. At the end of the day, anybody that thinks they're trans is coming from a place of mental health problems. And I can say that because even with the DSM criteria, it comes from body dysmorphia. So that's not being rude. It genuinely comes from a place where you're struggling with your identity. So the last thing these people need is calling them all names under the sun. And and victimizing them. So, you know, we need to be much more kind and compassionate. And when we think about the Uganda law change this week, you know, that to me is really terrible. You know, actually, people will be facing the death penalty over there for just being in a homosexual relationship, right? And, you know, it's almost like in Western culture, we got to a good place and now it's gone so ridiculously so far the other way. This is really what we should be, you know, against. actual hatred and violence.
Correct.
You know, I don't care how people live, as long as you want to go, you want to go live a happy life yourself, and you don't upset anyone else, absolutely fine by me. If you want to be trans, not a problem. I mean, like, as an example, if you're a Muslim and you eat halal meat, I go round to your house and you give me halal meat, of course I'm going to eat it, not a problem. But if you then tell me you can no longer eat halal meat in your own house in order to be on our side, you've now got to change all your meat to halal meat, that's a whole different story. And that is kind of what's happened in the Western world. Not only do you have to respect trans people, you have to join in our ideology. And that's where the problem is. You don't have to join in something in order to respect it. I think the problem is.
And you linked it in there with that story in Uganda. We'll cut to that as well, actually, because I have a little bit of experience in visiting that place quite frequently. And I know a little bit about those types of laws and cultures firsthand. I've been there 5 times, I think, over the course of 10 years, spending a lot of time there, getting accounts firsthand from people that have been attacked, that are gay, and other people that are anti-gay, the whole spectrum. So we'll maybe look at that in a minute or two when we come back. Quick break here, but don't go away. This is TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Previously, I told you about President Biden's nominee to head the Federal Aviation Administration, Philip Washington, a military veteran who is CEO of Denver International Airport. Now, after his Senate hearing some 3 weeks ago, I let you hear how, based on his inability to answer one question after another on vital issues, there was no way this man should be confirmed to the position. Remember this?
What airspace requires an ADS-B transponder? Quickly, please.
Thank you for the question, Senator. Not sure I can answer that question right now.
That's okay. We'll just keep going. So what are the 6 types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts? Quickly, please.
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Can you tell me what causes an aircraft to spin or to stall?
Again, Senator, I'm not a pilot.
Thank goodness Washington has withdrawn his nomination after it became evident that he would not get voted out of committee for a full vote on the Senate floor. Washington is black, and in this administration, that's probably why he was nominated. Wokeness can be dangerous. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Governments around the world are wasting billions of dollars in carbon capture and storage. Such programs are futile and opposite the benefit of enhanced photosynthesis for a greener world and improved crop yields. In November 2021, US President Joe Biden approved the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which allocated $12.2 billion over 5 years for carbon capture, utilization, and storage, the single largest appropriation of money for the technology in history. Other nations and many of the largest multinational corporations support this folly. Much of the funding goes to geosequestration, which requires vast amounts of energy to pump carbon dioxide deep underground into geological formations. The enormous costs have no benefit, and there's no guarantee the gas won't leak out over time with seismic events. Likewise, carbon stored in forestry projects can go up in smoke in a bushfire.
The conversation continues with Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, just a reminder to you lovely listeners, this is open line session. Maybe we've frightened you people off. I don't know. Maybe there's some activists out there and you're afraid to call in there because it's been a little bit. We said we were going to be calm and collected this morning. But
yeah, you scared them at the start, Rick.
I think I scared them at the start, but it wasn't intentional. And you know me, I'm just a big softy deep down inside. But we're going to talk about this business in Uganda. Okay, so you brought up, or you touched on the story. Uganda is passing an anti-LGBTQ bill. John Kirby in the US warns that the US will pass economic sanctions on the African country if it does go through with the law. Well, first of all, your point, live and let live, 100% agree. Second thing is the United States, again, interfering with other countries, whether they like it or not. The United States is no damn business telling Africans how they should live, because this is a cultural thing for them, whether you like it or not. Okay, it's in the culture. And let me tell you something that might make you laugh, just a little bit of lightheartedness here, okay? When I started going to Africa in 2007, predominantly it was Kenya and Uganda, right? And I used to see loads of guys walking hand in hand down the streets, right? And they were everywhere. All these guys were holding hands, right? Walking down the streets. And I said to the guy I was with, I hadn't been there very long. I said, are they gay? And he said, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? I said, well, they're holding hands, walking down the streets. Are they homosexuals? And he said, don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. He said, we stone gay people here. I said, they're just friends. They're just friends. I says, are you serious? You stone homosexuals, but you walk hand in hand down the streets with your friends. He said, yes, that's our culture. I said, well, bizarrely, we don't stone gay people to death, but you won't see two straight guys walking hand in hand down the street. He said, well, it's just what we do here. It's just what we do.
And then
a lot of guys, a lot of African men, when I was in the groups and I was becoming, you know, I was doing work in communities and this, that, and the other, we're getting friendly with people. I would be walking down the street and I would feel this little thing on the side of my hand. They would be trying to hold my hand walking down the street. And listen, culturally or not, you said about eating halal meat, you wouldn't do it to defend it. Hell's bells, I ain't walking down the street hand in hand with no guy. I just about hold my wife's hand in public, let alone some random African man. So it's nothing personal against the Africans there. But it's bizarre how inverted their thinking is, isn't it, when it comes to cultural norms?
Yeah, I think that that's the thing, you know, respecting someone, you still respected them, but you don't have to, like I said, you don't have to join in that, whether it's a religion or ideology or any of that. We can be tolerant of people, patient, and we don't have to agree. But they're pushing us now in modern society to say you have to take a side. So in that example that you've said, Rick, they either said, no, you have to take a side. You either have got to stand up and have a go at him, or you have to hold his hand. You can't just be respectful and politely decline. Do you see what I mean? Take a side. You know, and this story, honestly, I looked on Twitter, it has brought out the real homophobes, which is, you know, it's, and this is where I'm saying, you know, there's a massive, massive difference. You know, when the kind of trans activists are saying, oh, that, you know, they hate trans and they're transphobic. They're not. They just don't want to use pronouns. You know, that's mm-hmm. your belief and you're welcome to it. And if you exactly. want to do it, all good to you. But I don't want to call myself a cis woman. That doesn't mean I don't respect you or respect your way of life. I just don't, mm-hmm. I don't relate to it myself. Therefore, mm-hmm. I don't want to take it on board. And this story, oh my goodness, that I couldn't even read the tweets. Like, you know, Uganda have got it right. You know, like Americans and mm-hmm. British people, Americans have got it right. Gay people should be stoned. Let's move towards this here. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm disgusted by that type of thing because, you know, we have moved on so far from there and I'm never going to advocate that type of hatred. And unfortunately, this is what's happening. You know, it's putting people in extremist categories because, you know, there's very little you can do if it's another country. The online chat said they might try go invade, America might go and try invade somewhere else. You know, they like to do that.
Uganda, we've talked about this again, Rwanda, Uganda, Kenya, hotbeds for the WEF and hotbeds strategically for Africa. And Africa is the biggest mineral resource place on planet Earth, whether it be precious metals, whether it be cobalt, whether it be copper, whether it be oil, whether it be gold, whatever it happens to be. And Darren pointed out a few weeks ago that they've found this humongous trillions of dollars worth of gold mined somewhere in Uganda. And no doubt America's now saying, you know, we're going to sanction you if you push this through. You never know, they might use it as justification for a little invasion on the east coast of Africa to set it up as an American colony. Don't rule it out.
From what you're just saying, if you're talking proper conspiracy theory, and I hadn't even known that, have they already organized it amongst themselves? Mm-hmm. Oh, look, you've got, look, I'll give you lots of money for this. Let's have a little few backhanders. Pass this rule, and then we can come in. Here we have it again.
The LGBTQ plus agenda could be used to justify an American invasion into Uganda. Listen, is this not the multi-purpose tool of division for planet Earth at this time?
It is.
This whole business, Nally. Every story we have talked about all over the world, Uganda, Nashville, New Zealand, it's all linked into this. And it
every
all has
story
offshoots.
Of the Western world seems to be linked somehow to the trans movement. And that's why I'm saying to people, there can be an echo chamber within the kind of truth or conspiracy theory world. You need to step back a bit sometimes and see these stories for what they are and why they're being pushed and why the details are, because like that's what I said, nearly every single story I'm going to cover could come back to this in some way. They're linking it every time.
Exactly. And you know what? You know, we could be said, well, you guys are helping to promote this. We're not. We're trying to make the point that what is the end result of the application of this agenda? What are they trying to achieve rather than what the agenda is itself? Because there's always a motive, Monatly.
There's a difference between taking a story and being riled up about it. So say take this Uganda story and then non-stop talking about it on Twitter and using the algorithms for that story. There's a difference to say, here's this story, think about it, why is it there? That's not doing the same thing. You're not taking the bait, as it were. That's what they want you to do with all of these stories. That's how they push their division. That's how they push their agenda forward.
Here's the thing too, right? This is just as I'm talking to you, you know, random things come into our heads. Her die, okay? Her die. Who would have thought?
I wasn't expecting that one.
No, but nothing to do with you or me here, but I'm talking about the blue her people, the purple her brigade, the green her people. And again, I'm just speaking my mind. This Nashville shooter, I've seen the CCTV footage allegedly from inside the school. I think they had like this pillar box red hair. There was footage this morning of activists in England who were policing these ultra low emission zones, all dudes with green hair. The people attacking, punching the old woman in the face, men with purple hair, right? And again, her color's becoming an insult. It's like even Trump said, we don't want blue haired commies teaching our children at school.
I can vouch for this. Do you remember when I had pink yes. hair? I suddenly thought, I need the grey's getting too bad. I'll put some pink hair in. Do you know the vitriol I got for that? Really, genuinely, from people on our side, they were like, "Oh no, you need to do natural. You look like you're on the other side. Like some hair color means I'm advocating another way. You know." And this is what I'm saying. It's happening all the time. This constant. You're either on one side or you're not. You're with us or you're against. The world never needs to be like that. We should be promoting, you know, tolerance of all sexualities and genders and religions and countries and races. You know, and if we all got together, then we could actually then come against this government or governments, corrupt governments. But we can't, because everybody's more.
The wedges of division are being hammered in everywhere. And you've hit the nail on the head. The old concept of united we stand, divided we fall, live and let live, love each other, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If we could just simply apply that, we wouldn't have a job, you and I, right now, because we'd have nothing bad to talk about, you know. We'd have to do a good... Imagine in a utopian world, right? We come on in the morning at 10 o'clock, and it's all good news. It's all just sweetness and light. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be a lovely concept? But I don't think it's going to happen as long as these wedges of division. And you see the her thing. Sorry, just one last thing. I saw another clip. This is coming to mind. It was from GB News this morning. Someone did a clip on Twitter of some student, obnoxious little student. She was about 19 years of age with this purple perm, and she was on talking to Jacob Rees-Mogg about how he was responsible for destroying the world for her and the future generations from using fertilizer. It would have been hard. Listen, I'm not an advocate of violence, but some people, you know, metaphorically need a little bit of a slap, and just an obnoxious character.
They choose these people, Rick. They choose. We've said it all along. When they put an interview on TV, they make sure they are the most extreme version of that view, always. And then people believe, you know, that, you know, if you question immigration, you're a racist. You know, if you're questioning anything to do with the environment, you're a mad coloured hair hippie. You know, that it's all of this kind of stereotyping, and that's how the division works. I mean, even the story quickly before we go, like the new Prime Minister in Scotland, or it's not Prime Minister, it's First Minister, isn't it? Even that, straight away, it went, he's the first Muslim leader. He doesn't want to do he's trying to push through the gender ideology. You know, he's got the division, he's dividing the party. He wants to try and get independence from Scotland. Have you noticed the stories were all division, division, division?
Completely.
Even with that, every single time.
And then highlighting the fact that Rishi Sunak is an unelected Hindu and Sadiq Khan, another Muslim. And he's hanging his Ramadan lights all over London and putting Nelson's column in purple with Arabic on it. That guy's a wind-up merchant. I don't care what you say. And I think he has a little kick out of doing it. But again, the wages of division. We have to step back. This is a little circular thing. We're coming right back to our opening comments. Whether or not we've adhered to them or not, I don't know. But we need to step back, take a deep breath, calm down a little bit and look at it objectively from all angles and say, what are they trying to achieve? And the answer for all of the stuff we've talked about, every single thing, division, 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 division. United we stand, divided we fall. What say ye, Natalie Cheel?
Mind power. What? They can only have the power if you give it power in your mind.
Amen. Wow, what a message. Work on your head, keep your head, keep your powder dry and stay sane. I think that is the message of the day. Natalie, humongous salute to you over in Reading. Hope you have a fantastic Tuesday. And all being well, we'll be back on air tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. UK time. I'll be back after the news with Roger Tattersall, legend, Rog Tall Bloke. We're going to be talking various things on TNT.